I ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Joshua, and to the chapter number 5, Joshua chapter 5. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow in prayer. And we encourage you to pray today that as we look at God's Word, the Lord would speak to your heart and to all our hearts afresh by His Spirit and Word today. Our Father and our God, we just thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering. We pray that Thy presence would become very real to every heart, to every soul in the meeting. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless us as we come now to Thy Word. Open our eyes, Lord, the eyes of our understanding, to behold wondrous things afresh out of Thy Word. We pray that the Word of the Lord will come with freshness and with power, that it will be like an arrow to the heart of each and every one in the gathering today. And Lord, we pray that through the going forth of Thy Word, sinners would be made wise unto salvation, that backsliders would be restored unto Thee, and that Thy saints would be helped on, O God, to heaven. To this end, O God, fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Empty me of self and of sin and of all that is not of Thee. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us, Lord. Give liberty, clarity, plainness and simplicity, Lord, of speech. And we pray that all will be said and done through that single eye to the glory and honour of our Saviour, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. It has rightly been said that God's mercies to His people are always given and they always come at the right time. If you think of Israel, whenever they were standing at the Red Sea coming out of Egypt, also as you think of them going through the wilderness, coming to the brink of the River Jordan, and God intervened on the behalf of His people at the right time, at the appropriate season. And we see this same truth wonderfully illustrated in our Bible reading this morning and before us. In the early part of Joshua chapter 5, that part of the chapter shows us that Joshua was a man who was confident of victory in the land of Canaan. We've seen that in past mornings, how he acted with great confidence and great calmness in the performance of all his religious duties before the Lord. And in the latter part of the chapter here, you find him surveying the city of Jericho. This was the first city to be attacked and to be taken. And it would seem as if he is doing reconnaissance regarding that city on this matter. And at this critical time, we see how the Lord comes. And the Lord gives a wonderful revelation of Himself to Joshua, the servant of God. And you read of that revelation. Verses 13 and 14 of Joshua chapter 5, our text for this morning. Those two verses says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And my, the result of this encounter is that Joshua is further assured of victory over his enemies and the enemies of God in the land of Canaan. And why it is this encounter of Joshua with the Lord that I want us to consider this morning. This encounter with the Lord was a mercy to Joshua, yes, but it was also a means to quicken his zeal for God and encourage him to be bold and to stand out for God in his day and generation. Likewise, I pray that our consideration of this very same encounter will encourage every believer, every Christian in this gathering this morning also to be zealous for God and to stand up and to be bold for our Savior in our day and generation. There are three things about this encounter with the Lord I want you to note. First of all, in this encounter, I want you to see Joshua's inquiry to Christ the captain of the Lord's host. Notice the question Joshua asks by way of inquiry at the end of verse number 13. He asks the question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You think of a soldier on guard duty and a stranger approaches him and he will ask the question, halt, who goes there? It's a question of interrogation. It's a courageous question even against a stranger. And this is really how it was here with Joshua and the Lord when he makes this inquiry. He says, art thou for us or for our adversaries? This was an inquiry that required courage. For at this point in time, Joshua did not yet know that this was the Lord. This man at this point in time appeared to be a stranger to Joshua. And as he came before Joshua, he had a sword drawn in his hand. And my, when a soldier in bygone days had a sword drawn in his hand, he was ready for battle. He was ready for action. Yet nevertheless, Joshua challenged the Lord by saying, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Yes, we can say it was a courageous inquiry. Child of God, I encourage you this morning to learn here from Joshua in this instant. And be courageous also as a believer in challenging men and in challenging the movements of men by the word of God itself. Take a note here from Joshua and be courageous for your Lord and for your Savior. You think of what the Apostle John says to God's people in 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Oh, believer, it's important to test the words of men and the deeds of men by the word of God. It is also important to test the words and the deeds of the movements of men and whatever those movements are by God's holy word and by God's truth. Child of God, do not allow yourself to be carried along, as is so often the case in our age, with the whim of popular opinion. You have a right, dear Christian, to challenge the deeds and the words and the actions of men by the word of God. Christian, that is what God commands you to do. Through his word, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. And in Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20, God says this, he says, to the law, that's his word, and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If the deeds and the actions of men and the movements of men do not match up to God's word, God's truth, God says there's no light in them. It's not of God. Christian, no matter how plausible people may be, no matter how plausible the movements of men may be, if their beliefs and their practices are contrary to God's word, then the Bible says you're to avoid worship with them and you are to avoid close fellowship with such. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and to the verses 3 to 5. And you'll see how Paul brings this point out here to Timothy as he writes to him. Timothy was just a young Christian, a young servant in the things of God. And Paul the elder was seeking to encourage him to be bold and not to be entangled with that which was contrary to God. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof come of envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That's what God says to us. If the movements of men, the religions of men, the deeds of men, the words of men do not match up to the word of God, we are to withdraw ourselves from such. Why, we need to be courageous, Christian, in the matter of separation from the ways and the religions and the practices of this age that are contrary to the Word of God. Yes, we can say that this inquiry of Joshua was indeed courageous. It took courage for him to ask this question. You know, if you analyze this inquiry, you'll see not only was it courageous, it was an inquiry full of conviction. For he simply asked the question here at the end of verse 13 of Joshua 5, art thou for us or for our adversaries? There was no middle ground here in this question. There was no in between. There was no sitting on the fence, so to speak. Joshua simply asked, are you for us or are you against us? It was black and white as far as Joshua was concerned. He was a man, we might say in our own language, who called a spade a spade. And dear child of God, again, there's an example here for you and I to follow. Yes, we are to be people of conviction as God's people. And as far as the Christian is concerned, there can be no middle ground between truth and error. There can be no middle ground between right and wrong, between holiness and sin, and between light and darkness. There can be no sitting on the fence on these issues as far as the Christian and the Church of Christ is concerned. Dear believer in Christ, God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And he has called you to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness, to stand for holiness in the ways of God and the ways of His Word. In verse 3 of the little book of Jude, God says, you and I who are saved are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, let us learn today from Joshua. Yes, an inquiry that was full of courage. An inquiry that was full of conviction. Let us be courageous for God. Let us stand, dear people, by the convictions of God's Word and God's truth that He has given to us in His Word and in the Bible. Yes, the first thing we see here in this encounter was Joshua's inquiry to Christ. But notice secondly in this encounter, notice in the second place, Joshua's revelation of Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua asked the question in verse 13. And look at the revelation of Christ, the captain of the Lord's host, to him in verse number 14. It says, and he said, nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. Let me make it clear this morning, the person here who spoke these words was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Theologians would call it a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, the Son of God. By such words here, he was saying to Joshua in these words in verse 14, he says, no, I'm not against you, but I'm for you. Joshua, I've come to help you in your battle to take the promised land and to take the land of Canaan. What a message of reassurance he received from the Lord on the eve of battle and going in to take the stronghold of Jericho. The Lord speaks to him and he says, as the captain of the Lord's host am I now come. Joshua, I'm not against you. Joshua, I am for you. And you know, it's interesting to note that all through the Old Testament times there are also examples of similar appearances of the Lord. These pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord. You have one in the case of Samson's parents in Judges chapter 13. There the Lord appeared to his parents to show how they were to rear the child, Samson, who was to judge Israel. Again, you have another similar appearance of the Lord to Gideon when he was threshing wheat, when the Lord called him to lead the children of Israel against the Midianites. You have a similar appearance in Genesis 32 when Jacob was coming back in fear and trepidation to meet his brother Esau and the Lord appeared unto him. And you have a similar appearance in Genesis 18 when God came and he appeared to Abraham and he spoke to Abraham of the destruction of God coming upon the cities of the plain for their sin of sodomy. Then you have another example of one of these pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord to Hagar. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7, where it says there, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. The Lord appeared of old to his people. And the interesting thing to note as you study those different appearances of the Lord, they were all during times of great distress and difficulty to those to whom the Lord was to reveal himself to them. It was a time of need, a time of distress when God came to his people in a special way. And the Lord revealed himself unto them in a mighty fashion. And people, proof that this appearance in our text this morning, this captain of the Lord's host, was none other than Christ. Proof is seen in the fact that Joshua worships him. Look at verse number 14 again of Joshua chapter 5. And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Had this just been an angel, Joshua here would have been rebuked for his worship, just as John was rebuked when he fell down to worship an angel in Revelation 19 verse 10. But alas, this was no ordinary angel. This was the Lord himself. And Joshua bows down and worships him. And just as this revelation greatly encouraged Joshua, it was a revelation that the Lord, and not only the Lord, but all the hosts of his angels were going to be with him in a mighty way as he embarked in his campaign of taking the land of Canaan. And just as this was a great encouragement to Joshua, so, dear child of God, the Lord has promised, dear believer, to be with you in a mighty way. Child of God, catch a hold of that truth this morning. Maybe you're facing a great trial this morning as a believer in the midst of a trial. Maybe you're about to embark in a time of great testing, in a time of great trial. Well, remember this, dear believer. The Word of God says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." In the trial, Christian, the Lord will be with you. And likewise, the Bible makes it very clear that an unseen army of angels also are round about you as God's child to protect you and to minister unto you as the Lord alone sees your deeds and as the Lord alone meets your needs. Turn with me over, please, to 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And here you read of the time of Elisha, the servant of God, and he had a servant with them. And they were surrounded by a great army from Syria. And the servant was afraid. You'll see how God revealed himself to the servant. And also the great host of God's angels as well were revealed. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Look at verses 15, 16 and 17 of the chapter. And notice what it says. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God," that's the servant of Elisha, "was risen early and gone forth, it says, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots." That was the great army of Syria. "And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He was overcome with fear. What are we going to do? We're surrounded by this great army. Look at the counsel of Elisha in verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not." Look at the confidence. He says, "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And God answered that prayer, for it says in the next statement, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." The Lord and the host of his angels were round about his people. And just as the Lord and all the hosts of heaven was with Elisha and his servant, so, dear child of God, the Lord will be with you in a similar way in your hour of need as well. Think, Christian, of those words in verse 16 there of 2 Kings chapter 6 and apply them to your own heart, to your own circumstances, to the trials of life that blow in upon you. And the Lord says through his word to your soul today, he says, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Oh, is it any wonder that one of old has said, "Little is much when God is in it"? Think, Christian, of the words of the hymn we were singing earlier on. The hymnwriter spoke of the Lord and said, He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will, a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna, He my hungry soul doth fill. What an inquiry Joshua made. Art thou for us or against us? What a revelation he received. Nay, but as the captain of the hosts of the Lord, am I now come? Notice finally in this encounter this morning, notice Joshua's reverence for this captain of the Lord's host. Notice his reverence for Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. Now look there at verse 14, you'll see that his reverence consisted of worship, as we've already mentioned. It says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And likewise, Christian, the Lord of glory is the only one that you and I are to worship. We're not to worship the idol of self or the idol of man or some false god of this world. We are only to worship the Lord. You think of the first and second commandments. They're all about this matter of worshiping the Lord. Turning your Bible back there to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and the verses 4 and 5. And the Lord there is giving the Ten Commandments. And can I say the Ten Commandments are for all God's people to live by to the very end of this age, till the Lord comes back again. Here he's speaking about the matter of worship. And in verses 3 and 4 of Exodus 20 he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under there. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now you see that idolatry, whatever it is forbidden. And God alone is to be the supreme object of our worship. Someone has once rightly said that true worship exalts God to His rightful place in our lives. And why have we come here to God's house this morning? People, I trust our chief reason for gathering today has been to worship the Lord. That's why we come to the house of God, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Yes, Joshua's reverence, it consisted of worship, but it also consisted of prayer. For look at what he says to the Lord and what he asks at the end of verse number 14, after he worships the Lord. In Joshua chapter 5 it says, and he said unto him, notice the question, what saith my Lord unto his servant? It was a prayer. And it was a prayer implying an earnest desire to know God's will for him at that time. And not only to know God's will, but to do it. Likewise, dear people of God, we show our reverence to God by prayer. And by praying to God for His will to be revealed to us. And praying for grace to do the will of God. That's how it was with Saul on the road to Damascus when he was saved. Think of the question. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Again, that was a prayer. Asking for to know and to be able to do God's will in his life. There was worship here. There was prayer. Something else to note here. There was holiness as well. Another mark here, Joshua's reverence for the captain of the Lord's host. For look at the beginning of verse number 15. It says, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy foot from off thy shoe, from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And by the removal here of a shoe, it symbolized a call to holiness. And likewise, dear Christian, if you and I are to reverence the Lord, then we must seek by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a holy life, by the power and the infilling of the Spirit of God in our lives day by day. The Lord says to His people, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. There was holiness, there was prayer, there was worship, there was obedience. If you look at the very last statement there of verse number 15, notice what it says about Joshua. It simply says, and Joshua did so. He took off his shoe. In simple obedience to the command of the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. This was his reverence. There was obedience in his heart to God. And it's very interesting to note, if you read on, and we will look at it again on another occasion, in chapter 6, and the Lord then goes on to speak further to Joshua and to reveal to him the exact detail and the manner in which he was to take the city of Jericho. You see, one step of obedience led to a further revelation of the will of God for Joshua and his people. And that's how God leads his people. By them obeying the Lord, the Lord's word, the Lord's will, the Lord leads his people step by step. Maybe, dear Christian, you're concerned about the will of God for your life and what the future holds. Christian, obey whatever God calls you and asks you to do now. Obey the Lord now. Be obedient to the Lord now. As you obey the Lord will reveal more and more of his will to you step by step. Turn over with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7. Look at the promise here of Christ in verse number 17. And it's all linked into this matter of obedience and how obedience leads to a further revelation of God's will. He says, if any man will do his will, that's God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Believer, the more you obey the Lord, then in turn you will know more of the will of God for your life. That's really what the Lord is saying there. That's really what he's teaching there. Over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, the Lord again is speaking to his people about this matter of obedience. And this is what he says. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Oh, child of God, don't be like those who refuse God. Don't be like those who rebel against the Lord. But rather heed the counsel of God's word. Be willing and obey. And you will know in your life and in your service for God the blessing of God that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. That's how it was with Joshua. Yes, Joshua was to know the help and the blessing and the protection of the Lord in his life in a mighty way because he obeyed the Lord. And not only that, he was a man who had enlisted in the Lord's army. Dear unseen friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you also are to know the Lord's help, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's protection in your life for time and for eternity, then you too must enlist in the army of God. You might say, well, how can I enlist? Why, the way to enlist is for you to repent of your sins and to turn to the Lord and to trust in Christ and in his finished work alone for your salvation. Turn over there to Isaiah chapter 55, over in the middle of the Old Testament, and the verses 6 and 7, and read it for yourself. Friend, on, see if this is God's counsel to you this morning. If you're to enlist in the army of God, just like Joshua of old. It says there in verse 6 of Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Dear friend, let me say this, that if you will not enlist in this fashion, then you remain God's enemy. Then you remain an enemy to the captain of the hosts of the Lord, to Christ himself. And on the day of judgment, if you come before him in that state, unsaved, you'll hear that awful sentence from the Lord. Depart from me, I know you not. You'll be cast into outer darkness, into everlasting fire, the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, to suffer eternal punishment, eternal judgment upon your soul for your sin. You think of that question this morning that Joshua asked, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You just apply that question to your own soul. Am I for God this morning? For Christ? Or am I against God? Am I against Christ? Friend, the way to be with Christ and to be for Christ is to surrender to Him and the gospel. To repent and acknowledge your sin before the Lord. For you to call upon the Lord and to trust Him as your own and personal Savior. That's how it was with Joshua. Joshua was saved by the grace of God in the army of the Lord. A child of God whose faith and trust was in Christ alone. Unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl. May this be your portion today. May you surrender to God, surrender to Christ. And own Him and trust Him as your Savior. And then live for Him day by day, serving Him as the captain of your life and the Lord of hope.